From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Pardo, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zepessa. Zepessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Mubtahij is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mubtahij is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A. Anthony Stabile filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Mike will be back in a couple of weeks. The next 2 weeks, you're stuck with me. I am at the Big A, Long Shots to be exact, at Aqueduct Racetrack, down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios is my man, the Pontiff of the Pick Four. You had us last night for the weekend stakes preview. You get a double dose. Tons of fun, as Jude likes to call us, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. What's happening, Jude? It's you're freezing. You took us off like I am here. 20 degrees this morning when I woke up here in the Big Apple. There's a freeze warning in effect until the end of our program.
Yeah, the flowers are not looking good. Yeah, very, very, very crispy this morning. Even the pansies, who are extremely tough, did not look good this morning when I left. The hibiscus is definitely looking for eternal toiling. Rest.
The hibiscus toiling back in third?
Yeah. Folding like a cheap Chinese suitcase, yes.
Yeah, things are... we were spoiled. And we really had an Indian summer up here. All the way up until Breeders' Cup week, it was beautiful here in New York. And it hit pretty hard. It's funny, we have and as you know from your years in Jersey, we have a weather... a meteorologist up here by the name of Amy Freeze, who will I'm a big fan of Amy Freeze, not just because she's great at the weather, but and missed the chance to meet Amy Freeze because I was talking to Eric Guillot of all people at Belmont a few weekends back. It's one of the biggest regrets in my life, talking to Guillot over meeting Amy Freeze.
Not a good trade.
No. But Amy Freeze brought the storm today. It was, I mean, and you know me, Jude. You know me well enough. I am never cold. I was freezing this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's chilly. I got the Monmouth Park sweatshirt on the hoodie this morning in the studio. So it's relatively comfortable here in the studio, but my feet are still cold. And Lee brought me some coffee this morning, some
nice
Starbucks. It's delicious, and I'm just enjoying the warmth in here.
When you combine the cold with the Breeders' Cup hangover, and I have that hangover in more ways than one. I was a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest Friday and Saturday Breeders' Cup. I can tell you that. You know, when you brag as much as I do, Beast of the Belmont and all the other nonsense, you gotta eat your crow when it's time. Man, they just smacked me around for 13 races, my friend.
Yeah, I should have sent you the Pope Jude sheets. Not that you would have paid any attention.
I listen. You're one of the few people I actually do listen to.
My father-in-law, Bob Kiekeffer, who writes for the Blood Horse and is an international racing man, I sent him the sheets, and then he was kvetching to me that he didn't have any winners. And I said, dude, I don't know what else I can tell you. I sent you the sheets. You didn't read them. Well, you know, I was busy. I had reports to write and this and that. Okay. Well, it's not like, you know, I mean, we had a good Breeders' Cup. Friday was solid. Saturday, I started out so hot on Saturday. It was ridiculous. I mean, Saturday was, I had the day made by the fourth race. When Caledonia Road romped home at $30-something, that was it for me. So It was good. And then some of the other races, you know, were pass because the prices weren't right or whatever. So, but it was fun. I'll tell you, being at Del Mar, nothing like it. It was a really nice Breeders' Cup. Del Mar did a great job. The weather cooperated. What looked like it could be disaster turned into just two beautiful days. I mean, Saturday morning, the water was so turquoise blue. And I've been going to Del Mar since I was about, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. That's a long time. And I have never seen the water that color. They put the water up on the big board, and it was just picture postcard perfect. It's unbelievable. It was a gorgeous day Saturday.
And you had a little something for everyone. Breeders' Cup weekend, we saw some familiar faces in the winner's circle, and we saw plenty of new faces as well. And we'll have a little bit of a meeting of those faces this morning here on the Equine Forum. We're always talking about the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup, and while it's always an underlying theme, pretty much wrap up the Breeders' Cup on this Equine Forum. Three Breeders' Cup winning trainers, and they all sort of came at their wins from different angles, if you will. Mark Cassie, who will kick off hour number two, of course, a two-win Breeders' Cup just a couple of years ago when Catch a Glimpse won the Juvenile Phillies Turf and the Queen of the American Turf, Teppan, took the mile and beat the boys. That was just back in 2015. So Mark already had a couple of Breeders' Cup wins under his belt when World Approval made it three consecutive grade ones in a mile, taking the Breeders' Cup mile on Saturday. Mark will join us a little later on. And two guys who won Breeders' Cup races for the first time. A gentleman I know for many, many years, 30 years around here on the NIRA circuit, and one of my favorite people to see around the racetrack, John Kimmel, who got the biggest price of the two-day extravaganza, Bar of Gold, to pay over $135. She won the Breeders' Cup filly in their sprint. John will join us just about 5 or 6 minutes from now in our next segment. And later on in the show, Jude, I know a guy you're plenty familiar with, Peter Miller. He liked winning his first Breeders' Cup race, the Turf Sprint, early on the Saturday card, that he didn't wait more than 3 hours for his second win when Roy H. followed in the footsteps of Stormy Liberal to take the Dirt Sprint. So those three guys are going to join us today. We'll hear from Debbie Easter. She is the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, of course, one of the more successful VA breds in the past 20 years. Stellar Wind wrapped up her career with a subpar performance in the distaff and went on to sell for $6 million. So I'm sure that those frowns turned upside down as soon as she went through the sale ring for $6 million. And we'll hear you and Mike, nice enough to host Express Bet Radio for me on Wednesday when I took a much-needed day off. You had King Leatherberry on. Of course, it's Ben's Cat Day down at Laurel, and the King, you guys caught up with the King to talk about the one and only Ben's Cat on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was a fun interview, and it's going to be a great day at Laurel today. I understand the races on the turf are going to be off the turf, but you know, it's super that they're going to honor Ben's Cat, who was an amazing racehorse and such a talent. And it was great catching up with King Leatherberry. He's always a fun guy to talk to and has a great attitude. So looking forward to rehearing that interview today. And Ben's Cat Day. I wish I was there. Wouldn't mind one of those Ben's Cat bobbleheads to put on my shelf.
Yeah. Ben's Cat bobblehead.
I'm not one of those guys that keeps the bobbleheads in a box.
No, of course not. I don't understand those people.
I don't either. I mean, you know, is my grandson gonna want the Ben's Cat bobblehead, or is he gonna put it on eBay? I don't know. I just like looking at him.
I'm with you. We'll also hear from Bob Cleveland. Mike Penna sat down with Bob. He is the president of Woodford Feed. We'll hear a few words from Bob later on in the show as well. And we want to hear from you, HRRN Nation, via the Twitter machine. Head on over to @HRRN on Twitter to answer this morning's Equine Forum poll question. And it's simple. Which Breeders' Cup winner were you most impressed by? In fact, I'll open it up a little bit. Maybe there was another horse you were impressed by that didn't win. I know if I answered that question, it would be Bolt Doro, who took a swim in the Pacific via his third-place finish. He was wide enough to jump into the ocean for a little bit. Boltoro would be my answer. So head on over. Who was the most impressive horse or winner you saw at the Breeders' Cup last weekend? We'll read your comments and your answers on the air a little later on. Again, it's up on Twitter, at HRRN. All right, we'll take our first break. When we come back, the trainer of Bar of Gold, John Kimmel, he got his first Breeders' Cup win last Saturday. We'll talk to him about the New York Bred Filly. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
We've watched him develop into a racehorse.
Into mischief wins the cup, called utility.
Into a sire.
Golden Sensei, scintillating performance.
It is practical joke in the Allen Jerkins.
Into a leader. The leading two-year-old and three-year-old sire of 2017. Into mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Unique Bellas lost the lead as they come to the top of the stretch. Princess Karen and Amiz Mesa. These two now turn for home. Unique Bella has given way. Here's Bar of Gold on the far outside. And Karina Mia splitting horses too. Amiz Mesa the catch. Bar of Gold attacks outside. Karina Mia attacks on the rail. These three coming down to the line of the filly and mare sprint. And it is very close. It looked like Bar of Gold has defeated Amiz Mesa on the wire. Mia was third in the final time of 1 minute 22.63 seconds.
Bar of Gold. Larry Comas was on the call of the filly in their sprint. Got there in the nick of time. Gunned down Amiz Mesa, who was making her first dirt start. 65-1 on Bar of Gold, easily the biggest price of the Breeders' Cup weekend. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A in for the Baron. of course, is always joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld. Bar of gold, Jude. I know the sheets were profitable. The Pope Jude sheets were profitable. Did we have bar of gold anywhere in sight?
No, we did not. But you know what? In retrospect, it was the one horse I was really mad at myself for not either putting on the sheet or considering to bet. She was a sprinter early on in her career, strictly a sprinter, and she had breezed really well, or blew out or trained, however you want to call it. I don't think she necessarily had an official workout, but she looked great in the mornings, and I wasn't really surprised when she won. What I was surprised at was the 65-1. I thought that was ridiculous. If you look at her chart, she's never been longer than 10-1. And that was in the Ogden Phipps, June the 10th at Belmont. She ran against Songbird and paid up subscriber in there. That was a pretty salty group to be facing off with, especially when you kind of lean towards being a sprinter more than a router. So,
well, here's my question. You know how a lot of fans will say the other, if a trainer has an uncoupled entry, if the longer price wins, the other one wins. Well, the owners, Chester and Mary Broman, had Highway Star, who had taken some money, and Bar of Gold. I wonder if they went with the other Broman angle in here.
I don't know, but I was really happy for Mr. and Mrs. Broman. They've been in the business a long time. They've put up a lot of money. So we can talk about that with John Kimmel, who's on the line now.
Yeah, I was, like you said, really happy for the Bromans. I was really happy for our first guest today because I know John a very long time, and one of the things that a lot of guys and gals we have on the show have in common is I have asked John Kimmel about a first-time starter or two in my life, especially when I was younger, and he always shot straight with me. So, John, Anthony Stabile, Jude Feld here. Congratulations on Bar of Gold.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you, John.
Cell phone.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Good connection.
Like I said, John always a straight shooter. Thanks for Bye Bye Baby about 6 years ago, a first to beat the boys. But, that's the kind of guy John is. John, this filly, a real shock, obviously, when you pay $135, but a heck of a place to win her first open company race. She had only beaten New York Breds up until this point.
Well, I could have seen her being 25 or 30 to 1, 50 to 1, 60 to 1, 66 to 1. It's kind of a bias based on what you see sometimes on those Breeder Cup days. A lot of money going in on the horses that look good on the form straight away. And she benefited from that discrepancy.
Did she train as good as... As good as she looked to me in the mornings, John, were you happy with the way she was going at Del Mar?
Oh, she was awesome. She was really, really great. The whole kicker and the whole thing, I thought she was in great form pretty much all season. I headed down to the race down at Keeneland, comes up wet. Everybody's looking at her off racetrack form. She's won 5 out of 6, and the track was obviously bad. I had instructed the new rider, Luis Saez, because Irad couldn't make the trip, to do what Irad does. And he takes that filly, warms him up with the pony, and then he leaves the pony, and she's such a class act. He keeps her moving and jogging. It seems to have helped her on the break. She's just been sharper off the break. So I relay this information, reiterate it to Saez in the paddock. I'm watching it. It's a horrible weather day. The track is sloppy. And basically, he walked for about 6 minutes prior to post with the horse and the pony. Just never did anything like I said. And it was like, what are you going to do at that point? She broke slow. Never seemed like she got involved, got hung wide. And at that point, you scratch your head and, I don't even know what we're going to do now. Certainly, Breeders' Cup was not in the back of my mind. So we ship back to New York. Irad comes, works her 14 days later, gets a nice workmanlike work. And a week later, we're going to have to make a decision because Mr. Broman said, look, we're going to put the money up for the pre-entry. I said, well, I don't really know if we're going to go. She's really got to show me something special. We work on Saturday, and if she works well and I'm happy, then we'll go. So we work at that Saturday, and, I mean, she was lights out, fantastic. She worked 47 and change on the training track, out in 59 and change, out in 112 and change, and IRED came back with a big smile and said, man, she feels just as good as they can feel. So I said to Mr. Broman, I know she's going to be a big price. If you want to put the money up, I think she's doing well enough to go. And off we went.
And, John, you might not remember this, but I saw you a few days after the Spinster right outside the racing office at Belmont. And you and I had talked about what you were going to do with her next. And you never, true to what you said, you never even mentioned the Breeders' Cup. I think after that performance, you probably, the Breeders' Cup was the furthest thing from your mind. But this is a great example of how she came back around and essentially earned her way into the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint.
I think it really, you know, she showed that she was training like she had been most of the season. She's just a wonderful sound, trains well, breezes awesome kind of horse. And Mr. Broman's prodding, he said, I know I have another horse in the race. What's the big deal? How many chances are we going to get? He said, look, if she's doing well, I'll put the money up. Let's go. Let's go. And, you know, it really was more of a combination of things, him prodding me to give it a go and the filly doing good at the time. And off we went. And we got there, and a girl that had galloped for me for many years when I had a division down at Fair Hill named Tracy Brown Price, she was out there with a John Thompson horse that was running in the juvenile turf race. And I called her up and asked her if she would get on the filly for me. And every day she would get back to me till I got there on Wednesday that's, oh my God, the filly feels great. She loves this racetrack and just was continually giving me a string of compliments and positive accolades that the horse is just doing really, really well. And when I got out there on Wednesday, you could just see, you know, she just kind of blossomed. The groom said, I don't know what it is. She's eating the bottom out of the feed tub. She's getting an extra scoop at night. She's cleaning that up. She's just very happy out there. So, I mean, you hear all those things, and the real trial is in the doing. But I was just hoping that she would go out there and give us a really good performance and not embarrass our efforts.
You know, another thing that when people look at her form for the Breeders' Cup, she kind of looks like she's a route horse. And now she's running in a sprint race, but she was a crack sprinter when she was younger. I mean, she was one of the best fillies around, going short, and you know, she had the credentials to fire in the 7/8 race for sure.
Yeah, you know, she was second in the test. She was second in the Poirus to the nice filly of McLaughlin's called Cavorting, and. You know, she stretched out as she got older and seemed, and she's so versatile. She could do so many things. But one of the training angles that I found very useful for me, winning the test twice over the course of my career, was taking horses out of mile races and shortening them up. And, you know, that was kind of the scenario here as well. She'd been running long all year. She did sprint in the race. We were there with your dad. And that was the Presque Isle race, which is now the earmark race for running in the filly.
Yeah.
Sprint race. It's like, I was looking, I was shocked at how many horses come out of that race and run big in the Breeders' Cup. I think it was Groupie Doll a couple times, this filly.
The second filly, too. The second filly beat you.
Yeah, that one was in there.
Amise Mesa.
Amise Mesa. And I think there was a couple other ones that I didn't recall, but when I saw the article, there was like five horses that had, you know, all performed big in that particular race. Groupie Doll twice it was. Anyway, she really benefited from what I thought was a really quick early fractions, and any horses that were trying to chase down Unique Bella, not letting the horse get too far away, paid the price. And it was like the perfect setup for us. She broke sharp. She settled. She dropped back to next to last at the half-mile marker, and she looked comfortable to me. It didn't look like her head was up or like she was struggling or anything. She was just in a nice rhythm. So when he asked her, she found a beautiful seam along the inside, and she's got such a great turn of foot that she's displayed in races on the dirt and the grass, that she made that great inside-outside move, and then it was just a matter of whether she would get there. Where I was standing, I couldn't tell. But it became almost surreal at that point, going, oh, my God, 66-1 shot. I'm going to win the Breeders' Cup.
You did a great job getting her ready, John, but you mentioned the ride. I mean, Arado Tease Jr., just one of the best rides of the weekend, just sitting chilly and saving the ground. And obviously, saving the ground helped. You get up by a nose, half a head. Obviously, every inch mattered, and he gave this filly a brilliant ride last Saturday.
No questions about it. Actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but one of the big factors in us making the decision to go was that IRAD was open in this particular Breeders' Cup event. So that played big, too, in our decision to go, because those two have a tremendous rapport, and it sure gave me a little more confidence, because there have been plenty of riders that have ridden her that races that I thought she might have performed better where she didn't was due to problems between rider and horse.
It's always good to take one. It's always good to take that off the table. Is when you can find a marriage like that. And Arada's ridden her brilliantly a bunch of times. They won on the turf together in the Yadu. Like you mentioned, her versatility. She has that dry track win now, but always loved the wet track. Ran very well on the turf, long, short. There really wasn't much this filly could do. And now we'll go see what she could do as far as being a broodmare. She's off to join the Broman's band. Yes.
Yep. The word is that she might be leaving as soon as tomorrow. So she'll be going, getting under lights, and probably get an early cover. And I'm not sure they've selected a stallion at this point, but hope she makes a good mommy.
All right. Hopefully we'll see Barbara Gold's offspring in the John Kimmelbond. John, great job with this filly. You've had all sorts of good horses in your life, but of course you think back to Hidden Lake and Flat Feet. Another fantastic training job with a filly. Bar of Gold upset the filly and mare sprint at the Breeders' Cup. John, thanks for some time today. I know you got a busy morning with the rest of your sets. Thanks again.
Yeah, it's cold here, I can tell you that. It's about 16. I'm walking with my to the training track, and my right hand is frozen.
Sorry you had to hold the phone up so
long. Looking forward to coming south.
Yeah. Florida, here we come.
Thanks, guys. What a thrill. And I was lucky enough to have my son, who lives in California, be there in attendance. And just a great moment for everybody and the team and racing. You know, you've been in this game as long as I have, and you've skirted success in that Breeders' Cup. I was a second in the Juvenile and third in the Classic, but getting my first one is pretty special.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah. Great job.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for everything.
I heard from your dad, too. He texted me. You know, he helped me out with the filly when I was at Presque Isle.
Oh, yeah. All right, for when you went up for the Masters. Yeah, I remember the Scatman Dew story.
Oh yeah,
when he got loose. That sure. John had a really good 2-year-old named Scatman Dew back in, oh man, that had to be back in the 90s at this point. And he got loose one morning, and him and my dad were trying to get a horse sold, and Scatman Dew comes running down the road by the Morning Line Kitchen in the backstretch, and my dad, I was with my father, my dad gets out of the car and he gets in front of him and snatches him down, and here comes John in the Mercedes flying around the turn, and he sees my father in the middle of the road holding Scatman Dew. He's like, Tony, you know what that is? My father had no idea what it was. It was a horse, you know what I mean? He's like, no, I saw it. That's Scatman Dew, the filly sold. Yeah. Come pick the check up this afternoon. That was a great story. That was a long time ago. John, thanks for everything. Congratulations.
All right,
enjoy
guys.
The success.
Enjoy your day.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, John Kimmel. He's trained many great fillies, but Bar of Gold, his first Breeders' Cup winner. We'll see if she can go on to become a good mommy, as John said, and maybe following some of the footsteps of some of those other fillies. He's had a really good career, Jude.
Yeah, he's a very good trainer. He's a great guy, and I was very happy for him winning. And like I say, I started rooting for down the lane because I had no wagering interest that was going to make a difference. And because John's just, he's a great guy. I have a lot of friends that have worked for him over the years, and they always say nice things about him. And, you know, it was a big moment for him and for Mr. Broman, who, like we talked about, put a lot of money in this game and deserved one of those écorchés.
Yeah, good guy. And, of course, John, like all of our guests, will get some Embrace the Race gear. Embrace your passion and wear what you love. Head on over to EmbraceTheRace.com. All right. It's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This is the story of a man who was unquestionably one of the very best in the annals of thoroughbred racing at plying his trade in the saddle. His accomplishments as a reinsman were not only noteworthy, but they were watermarks among the riding colony on two continents. The sands of the racing hourglass are poured back to the late 19th century to begin this odyssey. The subject of this dissertation first saw the light of day in Cadentown, Kentucky in 1883. He rode his first winner in Chicago in 1899 on a horse called Abenstroke, and he subsequently rode in this country with unrivaled success until 1903. In 1901, he piloted the winner of the Kentucky Derby on a horse named, perhaps fittingly, His Eminence, and the winners of the Latonia Derby, New Orleans Derby, and the Memphis Derby. In point of fact, in his abbreviated American riding career, he had but four Kentucky Derby now mounts, but never finished out of the money. He won that classic in back-to-back years aboard the aforementioned His Eminence, and in 1902 with Allen and Dale. He was third while in the saddle aboard Thrive in 1900, and was second aboard Early in 1903. He rode 161 winners in 1901, a total absolutely unheard of in that day and age. He often said the very best horse he ever rode was McChesney, a horse conditioned by Sam Hildreth. He eventually had a great deal of trouble making American riding weights and opted to cross the big pond, so to speak, to ride in Europe, and there he experienced measured success until 1930. He first rode in Russia, where he won the Russian Derby twice and finished second in that event four times in 6 years while under contract to Mr. M. Lazareff. From 1910 to 1912, he rode in Austria-Hungary for Prince Lubomirski. He then returned to Russia, where he rode from 1913 to 1917. He won the Russian Derby 3 years in a row, 1914, 1915, and 1960, for Leon Montshev, who at the time was one of the wealthiest men in the country. Our man left Russia in 1917 at the inception of that nation's revolution being led by Messrs. Trotsky and Lenin. When he was to leave that country, he went to bid his friend what was to be a fond farewell. Many years later, in 1941, he learned that his friend and benefactor, Mr. Montachev, was washing cars at that time for the Nazis in Paris. The story of our subject's escape from Russia in 1917 would provide more than ample fodder for Jean Le Carre's novel. Many times before escaping to Poland, he crawled on his hands and knees for hours to avoid being shot at by the Bolsheviks. In 1920, he left Warsaw for Paris, and he wound up there riding for Mr. Mantachev until 1926. He rode his last race in 1930 at the age of 47. Compositely, he rode over 2,300 winners in this country and in Europe, and he once rode 8 winners out of 11 mounts in Moscow. The vast majority of his victories were scored aboard two-year-olds because he always hustled them out of the gate, rated them, and then saved something for the finish. European riders, on the other hand, went hell-bent for leather throughout and had nothing left at the end. He always felt, although never able to explain why, that collectively, Australian riders were the best. Our man turned to training in France in the 1930s with horses in training at Maison Lafitte near Paris. When the Second World War broke out, he was forced to disband his stable, and he turned his property over to the French government, which quartered 200 soldiers there. Then, after France's quick defeat, he was forced to quarter Nazi soldiers. On February 25, 1941, he began another portion of his international odyssey that brought him first to Spain, then to Portugal, and finally back to his native America. Having been in Europe for some time, he was fluent in French, German, and Russian, in addition to English. He passed away in 1941 at the nonagenarian age of 91, with not only fond memories of the turf on two continents, but with a cumulative riding record that by any measure, means, or standards has to rank among the all-time best. His story has the very fiber of what a legend of the world of racing is all about. He was Jimmy Wakefield.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their two-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit vabred.org for details.
Black Friday is about getting a great deal. Well, how about this one? At Tony's Steaks and Seafood, we believe in generosity. So on Black Friday only, visit our Lexington restaurant, purchase a $100 gift card, and you pay only $80. It's not valid for phone purchases, so come on in or go to tonysoflexington.com. It's valid only at the Lexington location. Drop by Tony's at 401 West Main or visit online. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
Power. And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker's 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Hard Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And here comes the acid test for Terra Promessa, just a half length in front of Stellar Wind. Three and a half back to Streamline is third. The stage is set in the Apple Blossom, Stellar Wind and Terra Promessa, and they are even coming to the final furlong. Stellar Wind to the outside. Terra Promessa counter punches from the inside. Stellar Wind narrowly in front. Terra Promessa just can't quite go with her, and the champion is back. Stellar Wind wins the Apple Blossom. Stellar Wind won a length and a half. Terra Promessa valiant in defeat. Streamline third.
Vic Stauffer on the call of this year's Apple Blossom. Stellar Wind, the multiple grade one winner. puts another one on the resume down at Oaklawn Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff on a sensational Saturday morning. Already heard from John Kimmel. He won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Mark Cassie and Peter Miller still to come on this Breeders' Cup recap. And our next guest, Debbie Easter, the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. While Stellar Wind did not put in a stellar performance in the Breeders' Cup Distaff this season, she turned those frowns upside down a few days later in the sales ring. We'll let Debbie tell you about that. Hey, Debbie, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Stellar Wind.
I wish she had done it in the Breeders' Cup, but you can't really complain when she goes in and does what she did a few days ago.
$6 million, Debbie. Is that not unbelievable?
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
That's one word for
it. The lady that bred her still owned her at the time, but that's okay. She had great owners, and they did such a good job with her. And it's amazing what can happen when everything goes right.
Yeah, it was amazing the job John Sadler did with her too. I mean, her races were perfectly spaced, and John really had his finger on the pulse of that filly. She was amazing on the racetrack, and if you look at her past performance chart, and you see all the gaps in between races and her continued good performances throughout her career. I mean, he really knew when it was time to run her and pointed for a lot of those spots and got the job done. It was a great training job.
Sure. No, I agree 100%. They did a super job with her. Hopefully she goes on to be a super mom, and that's a great thing.
Now, I was looking at the website this morning, Debbie. Stellar Wind, of course, the most prolific of the stakes winners this year, but and those Virginia breds, they've won an awful lot of stakes this year. I one of the names that jumped off the page, still going strong at age 10. I lost it. Notch Road, the Glenn Thompson horse. Two Notch Road.
Yes, yes. He is he's a specialist. One of the things that we've been able to do since we don't have the racing here in Virginia anymore that the Maryland Jockey Club has helped us with, and we've been able to take some of our purse money up there and write some Virginia bred, actually more Virginia bred stakes than we were able to write at Colonial. And because we're able to spread them out, since we only had about 30, you know, anywhere from 25 to 45 days at Colonial. And, boy, he's just a specialist in those stakes. He just goes on and he comes every time with his A game to those Virginia bred stakes, and he wins, and it's great. Another one is for the Firestones, his special envoy. I've told Arnaud Delacour that I think that our Virginia bred program is there to fund his kids' college education, because he just comes in with the Firestones and wins those races all the time. But it's a real nice series that we've been able to put together for our breeders and the people that have Virginia breds, and we're able to spread the races a little bit more than we could at Colonial, so it works out real well.
And not only spread the races, but they take their show. The Virginia Breds really take their show on the road. If you just consider this year, starting at the beginning of the year, Fairgrounds, these are all stakes winners, by the way. Fairgrounds, Aqueduct, Oaklawn, Sunland Park, Santa Anita, of course, a bunch at Laurel, Del Mar, Albuquerque. I mean, really, Monmouth Park, up in Canada, the Assiniboia Downs, just literally all over the country, and Zia Park, all over the country and North America.
Well, we've been, obviously, the history of breeding in Virginia has just been something that's been outstanding over the years. Now, just like you have in Kentucky, but we had a more accelerated race, we're losing some of the bigger, older breeders. And the great thing about the breeders in Virginia is that we had quality breeders. But as we lose them, they're not getting replaced. And that's our worry going forward. The great thing is the breeders we have left tend to do a very quality job. While we're not ranked up with the top numbers of horses bred in the country anymore, as far as, you know, average earnings per runners and stakes horses, and even sales haven't looked this year, but even sales averages, when you compare them to other states that breed quite a bit larger numbers than we do, we still hang in the quality range, and that's something that I hope we don't lose.
Well, Virginia's got such a rich history of top class horses coming out of the state, and it's really horse country. It's a beautiful place to visit if people haven't ever been there. I mean, it just screams horse when you're there. And I certainly hope more people get interested in breeding horses in Virginia and setting up farms and that type of thing, because it really is a great place to live.
Sure, it's a super place to live. It's just it's hard as new people start in this game. There's, you know, it's hard for us to compete. We're the only state that has, well, don't have racing right this second, but we're the only state in our area that doesn't have alternative gaming to go along with their races. So it's hard for us to compete with our Breeders' Fund to places like New York and Maryland and Pennsylvania. So as I imagine y'all are going to ask me, we're trying some new things, and we're real tickled about our owner's program that for folks that own Virginia breds and went anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. And then this July, we just started a new certified program where people can send their horses here and to reside for 6 months. And if they do that, they will also pick up that same bonus. If they win anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic, we'll pay them a 25% bonus on top of their win purse. So we're real excited about that. We needed to do something to jumpstart, you know, the horse business again here in Virginia. We're just losing farms and losing infrastructure. And so we're happy to see that people are really talking about it. And we're starting to see some horses come in here, which is really great.
And you mentioned, Debbie, that Laurel and the MJC really have helped you guys out as well.
They have helped out. I mean, we all talk all the time about, you know, the Mid-Atlantic and how many tracks there are, and we all are running against each other, and you know, the field sizes and how do we compete and make our product better. Well, I mean, the perfect product, the day that's just amazed me is this Virginia day we have in the fall, where we've done our three open stakes up at Laurel, and then we run a set of five or six Virginia bred stakes that day, and just to see what's happened with the handle on that day when there's other big races going around the country. It's just the fields are full and people like it. And Maryland's been great. They obviously, our horses seem to like to run on the turf more. They've got a super turf course. And obviously we take our purse money up there to run those Virginia bred races, but they couldn't have been more accommodating. And it's just been a real nice, no better way to say it than partnership. And they've tried to be as helpful as they could be.
Well, hopefully the success of a filly, of a race mare like Stellar Wind will convince people that it still pays to be involved in that Virginia bred program. From what she did on the track to, again, just an amazing $6 million. In the sales ring, with her racing career essentially over, just to go on and be a broodman now, big price ticket.
Sure, and she's going to, as you all know, she's going to one of the greatest breeders in the world. So that's a neat thing. And the kind of funny thing about Stellar Wind is as much money and as successful as she was on the track, she Miss Augustus and Stone Street participated in our breeders program, but she never won one of our owner's bonuses at all, because she never ran in the – well, she did run in the Mid-Atlantic in her first race, but it's all interesting that as well as she did, and she never even never really got a really big check from us.
She would have cleaned out the coffers.
Yes, she would have.
She's we've got a contingency plan for the horses like her, because you know what, that was the problem even with our breeders program in the past when Mr. Evans was still alive and breeding horses, because you never knew when he'd have two or three grade one winners in a year. But we've had to put a cap on some of the per per race awards just to make sure that we don't, you know, we're lucky enough our guys breed quality horses, but you could have a millionaire come in there and clean out our funds. So we, even though that they're nice to get those checks, we've had to put a cap on them just to make sure a Stellar Wind or somebody like that doesn't clean it out.
Well, head over to vabred.org for more information on the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. Debbie, thanks for some time today. Best of luck. Super. Enjoy Ben's cat day if you're heading out to Laurel, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's great. And just let your folks know, send us, Virginia's open for business. Send us your horses, and could end up being a way to pay for your training bills at the end of the day. So love to have them.
All right, there you go. Again, vabred.org for more information. Thanks for some time this morning, Debbie.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, Debbie Easter, the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jude and I are going to talk a little more Breeders' Cup before being joined by Mark Cassie, the trainer of Breeders' Cup Mile winner, World Approval. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for all of racing's biggest days.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera. Plus, catch two-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great Sire of Sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most grade one winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're at the top of the stretch. Midnight Storming heart to heart. They're still there as they turn for home. World Approval is swung to the outside for a shot at them. And then it's Lancaster Bummer on the outside. Suede Wild finishing well. Blackjack Cat Zelzow's down on the inside. Far outside it's Carrar. World Approval has the lead as they come down to the wire. And he's pulling away late. And World Approval. approval does it in the Breeders' Cup mile. World approval won it by a length and a half of Lincoln Photo behind them in a final time of 1 minute 34.55 seconds.
Larry Comas on the call of the Breeders' Cup mile. World approval made it three grade one wins at 8 furlongs in a row. Mark Cassie will join us just a little later on in the program to talk about that feat. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. It's the Big A and the Pontiff on a freezing Saturday morning. I feel bad for Kimmel, huh, with the right hand frozen to his ear.
Yeah, that you could just imagine what that was like. It's unfortunate, but great conversation with John. It was very enjoyable for us, and we didn't have to endure the frostbite.
No, we did not. You know, we asked the poll question early on in the show, like we do every week, and it was simple this week. Which Breeders' Cup winner, and then I opened it up a little to which runner, Breeders' Cup winner, runner, however you want to look at it, were you most impressed with? How would you answer that question, Mr. Feld?
Well, there were a lot of good performances. I think, for me, World Approval kind of stood out. I mean, he's become a real star in our sport, and he's a horse that I've always had an affinity for. I've bet on him, used him in exotic wagers many, many times. He's a beautiful horse. He trained great all week long. That was a really tough field he ran against, and he made mincemeat out of him, basically. I thought it was a out-of-body performance. I mean, to win that easily over that group of horses, I thought was super impressive.
I was very disappointed this past Thursday on the Bridgenet.com call-in show to not hear from Jeff from Louisville. Jeff is at least once a month, more often than not every week, and his favorite horse in the past 3 years has been World Approval. So the fact that he did not call Thursday night disturbed me a little bit. But, yeah, I would say...
He might really have the Breeders' Cup hangover.
Exactly. Yeah, World Approval, his performance was certainly up there. We have our man John Fahey, a loyal listener. He chimed in on Twitter a little while ago. Gunrunner ran against a bias and busted it. And yeah, I think a lot of people, including myself, expected that track to be a little more speed-favoring. And normally when tracks are speed-favoring, they tend to favor the inside. If anything, though, I would have labeled it a fair track overall, maybe with a little bit of an outside lean, but certainly not what a lot of people, a preconceived notion of it being a highway, it certainly was not.
Yeah, I don't know where that preconceived notion came from. I will tell you this, as a group, and I've been going to the Breeders' Cup for many, many years and spending a lot of time before the Breeders' Cup watching horses train, as a group, I thought these horses trained better than any group of Breeders' Cup horses that I've ever seen at any racetrack. They really seemed to be enjoying the surface. It was stone cold quiet. We were right past the eighth pole, going to the towards the turn, going towards the ocean. When the horses came around the turn and entered the stretch in front of our location, you could not hear any hoofs. It was quiet, and it was like that all week long. And the horses that breezed over it seemed to breeze good. The horses that were galloping or did a little two-minute lick, they seemed to handle it. The only knocks you could give were like certain horses that were keyed up or anxious. Unique Bella comes to mind. I did not like her body language all week long. She just seemed agitated. She didn't really seem to be happy and comfortable. But most of the horses were just freakishly good. I mean, one after the other. And we did the television broadcast for Breeders' Cup that was on every morning, Monday through Thursday, leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And watching these horses train, it was just such a treat to see them do so well. And they had a break turf works during the break on the main track, which were interesting to watch, and it seemed like the Euros were enjoying themselves on the grass, and it was just a fantastic training week for most of the horses. But I didn't see the track being as super fast or you know, souped up like a lot of times tracks get on big racing days. It wasn't like that at all. It was very consistent and very quiet.
Well, yeah, and we had a fun, safe Breeders' Cup. Everybody came home well, and except Lady Eli, who got caught up a little bit in that filly and mare turf. But for the most part, a great job out at Del Mar, especially with that racing surface. We talked plenty of Breeders' Cup in Hour 1. We'll talk plenty more in Hour number 2. And, in fact, we'll be back with Hour number 2 right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And a late has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. A late dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to Hour number 2 of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I am up in long shots at Aqueduct Racetrack in South Ozone Park, New York. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is the Pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. A fun first hour in the books, getting ready to kick off Hour number 2 here. We'll have Mark Cassie, Pete Miller live. We'll talk to them about their Breeders' Cup wins last Saturday. Mike sat down with Bob Cleveland, who is the president of Woodford Feed. We'll talk, you'll hear that in a little while. And Mike and Jude, when they were filling in on Express Bet Radio this past Wednesday, sat down with Ben's Cats trainer, King Leatherberry, the Hall of Famer. Talk about Ben's Cat Day down at Laurel this afternoon. Action-packed weekend of racing, Jude.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty good racing all over. Not great, not what we're used to. It's tough when you go to the Breeders' Cup and then you have a lot of these smaller stakes and stuff. It's tough to get up for them. But there's some good races today, and depending on the weather, we'll see if there's anything bettable. I'm sure we'll be able to come up with some.
It's amazing, though, because, you know, like you said, there's a little bit, you know, certainly not Breeders' Cup action today, but if you think about it, you got Ben's Cat Day at Laurel, you got Sunshine Millions Preview Day down at Gulfstream Park West, some graded stakes, you got the grade three, all grade threes, the Red Smith here at Aqueduct on the turf, the Commonwealth turf at Churchill, the Bob Hope out at Del Mar, and then, you know, next weekend, you're looking ahead to the Penn Thanksgiving Stakes, to Land of Enchantment Day down at Zia Park. You have Clark Day at Churchill the day after Thanksgiving. A ton of stakes on Thanksgiving. KJC and Golden Rod at Churchill Downs as well. Cigar Mile, just the first weekend in December. So, you know, the machine keeps on chugging along. And then after a couple of quiet weeks in December, Santa Anita opens. So it's nonstop. It's literally nonstop.
Yeah, and Fairgrounds be opening soon. That's always a good meeting, a lot of entertaining racing there. So
next weekend, I think, right?
Yeah.
They went early now. No more Thanksgiving. It's a little before Thanksgiving.
A little early. And so, you know, there are some races. That Churchill Downs weekend is always really good from Thanksgiving all the way through Sunday. Lots of races that you know, have big implications for this year and next. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be a fun few weekends coming up. I'll tell you who had a fun weekend last weekend. Mark Cassie. He had a fun weekend. He got his third Breeders' Cup winner. Well, the other two trainers we're going to have on this morning, they won their first Breeders' Cup race last Saturday. This is old hat for Mark Cassie. He's won two of these already. His third one last Saturday. Mark, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hey, good morning. And who's counting, but it was four.
It's four. Oh, did I miss one? Who did I miss?
Well, we had Catch a Glimpse and Tappan at Keeneland. Then we had
I missed Classic Empire.
But
I'm sorry.
Who's counting?
That's three in a row. That's a bad job by me. I got my Breeders' Cup hangover, man. You got to excuse me.
Okay.
Did you have a hangover, Mark?
No, I don't. That's one thing I'll never have. So. I may have some hangovers from losers, but yeah. Luckily, I don't drink, so because there would be plenty of times I would indulge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you what. I don't know about a hangover, but since you cut this horse back to a mile, man, there's no hanging world approval. He loves this mile distance, doesn't he?
He does, and you know he's gotten so much confidence now as well. And it's just made a big difference in him. He's gotten bigger and stronger. I just visited him. He's back at home at Live Oak, and he's ready to go again.
Well, isn't that the beauty of the geldings? You know, we talked to John Kimmel earlier, and Bar of Gold, of course, the biggest upset of the weekend. She's a 5-year-old mare, so. She's getting ready maybe even tomorrow to ship out to go join the Bromans, Ruben Bear. This is nice now. You just go put world approval away for a few months, a month or two, mm-hmm. and then you just bring them back next year as a 6-year-old gelding and get to do it all again.
Well, it is nice for that reason, and he's become, you know, he's getting a bit of a fan club. That's, you know, unfortunately, and of course economics always drives everything, but for the, well, not everything, but often. And so our stars don't get to stay around as long as we'd like. And so it's nice. Hopefully, I don't want to say I hope he comes back bigger and stronger next year, but as good, I'd be happy.
Yeah, well, he does have a fan club, and he's such a dandy-looking horse. I mean, you can't help but fall in love with him. But that race the other day against such a tough field, and he absolutely annihilated him. He's got that it factor, and he's kind of getting into the Wise Dan category a little bit, don't you think?
Well, I think, you know, what makes him so good is, and it was what made Tappan so good, and he can adapt to the pace. So if they don't want to run fast, he can be on the lead. If they want to set some pace, that's fine too. And it helps, especially, we all know with turf racing, it's the trip. And he allows himself to, because of his ability to be maneuvered around, he makes his trip most of the time. And that's what Tappan used to do.
Yeah, if they're forwardly placed in these turf races, they don't have to mm-hmm. worry about, you know, like you said, he is, I mean, a great example. He's off the pace in the Breeders' Cup mile after essentially going gate to wire up at Woodbine.
Right, and then the other thing that makes him strong is you can push the gas and then hit the brake, and he calms down. So those are the things that make him, you know, so great.
And it's so hard, Mark, and, you know, you talked about the how financially the money dictates things sometimes, and you know, overall, I think that these horses are probably a little more coddled. It's nice to see a throwback like him. He ran 8 times last year, runs 6 times this year, and he has these wins now, and not just wins, but Grade One prolific wins. Going from a mile all the way up to a mile and 3/8. I don't think he ever got to the mile. I don't think he ever got a big win at a mile and a half. But that United Nations, it's still on his. You know, it's remarkable to see a horse have a mile and 3/8 Grade One win on his card, and then 3 consecutive Grade Ones at a mile. You don't see that, right? You don't see that anymore.
No, I agree. Unfortunately, I think maybe the United Nations fooled us a little bit, and it took us a little while to figure it out. But. You know, we got it figured out, and he's doing well now. And you know what? I mean, what can I say from this success for Mrs. Weber and Live Oak, who you know she's been in the game as long as anybody, and is a true lover of the game. And then for her mare, you know, this was special. But what made it even more special is him being a homebred, and he's out of an. He's out of a mare that may be one of the greatest mares of all time. If you ever looked at her record, World Approval is her fourth Grade One winner, her second Breeders' Cup winner, fourth millionaire, and all by different sires. So just an unbelievable mare. And that mare actually goes back. She's got all Live Oak family. She's by with Approval, you know. So it's It was special in so many ways, and as I talked about after the race, very special for me because my dad and Mrs. Weber were very close.
And, of course, I'm sure it's even more special. Breeders' Cup week, your right-hand man, your assistant, and, of course, more importantly, your son Norman announced that he's going to be going out on his own in the springtime. So pretty much the last time you guys are going to team up for a Breeders' Cup win. In fact, now he may be on the other side of the paddock waiting to gun you down.
Well, we're excited about that. You know, it's now, to be honest with you, you know, we talked about it for a long time, and then we announced it right before the Breeders' Cup. But we had so much going on with the Breeders' Cup that him and I really didn't get to talk as much about it as we'd like. And since now the Breeders' Cup, him and I have been able to talk a little bit more about the planning and how things are going. And he's excited. I think he's excited and nervous, and I'm excited for him. And, you know, it's going to be a big change, without a doubt, given the horse Norman it can do as good as anybody out there. So I know that. I have complete faith in him. And as you say, there's nothing that would bring me more joy than to be in at Churchill Downs in the first Saturday in May, looking over at him with a Derby contender against each other or the Breeders' Cup. So, and I have no doubt that's what's going to end up happening. So, I'm excited. I'm excited for him. You know, I did the same thing. My father wasn't as he trained a few horses. He didn't have the numbers that I had, and you know, I went out on my own. So it's just natural.
I think it's remarkable how you've given Norman so much responsibility. I remember when Mike Penner and I were at the Penn Mile last year, mm-hmm. when you beat the boys with Catch a Glimpse. Norman was taking Catch a Glimpse up to Penn. And then jumping on a plane to go mend to
he
take
earned
care
it.
Of,
you know
to,
what? He earned it. Yeah. He earned it. He, you know, he started 10 or 12 years ago, and he's been driven, and he's earned that. And like I said, I'm excited to see the next chapter in his life. I've been so fortunate in so many ways that I just hope, you know, I just hope for the best for him that he can do it. It's one thing to do it yourself, but There's nothing that makes you more proud than to see your children do it.
Well, it's become kind of a dynasty now. I mean, it's the American version of the O'Briens, you know, which is really cool. I mean, your father and you and Norman and, you know, maybe Norman's kid down the line going to be a trainer. It's the family business. It's a great story. And you know, Norman's a classy guy and he's going to have a tremendous career.
Well, there's no doubt he will. This is, like I said, this is something we've known is going to happen. He's been preparing for it. We've been preparing for it. I say we, you know, Team Cassie. Like you said, now we'll be running against each other and trying to beat each other.
Well, he's got his work cut. I know he's a good horseman, but he's got his work cut out for him, my friend. Keep sending world approval over there. He's going to have his work cut out for him.
He's not getting world approval. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
the mystery, you took all the mystery out of the world approval statement.
Yeah. I love him, but he's not getting world approval.
Very cool.
Mark, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get back. Great job again with world approval. Count them four Breeders' Cup wins for Mark Cassie, Catch a Glimpse, Teppan, Classic Empire, and now the Mile with world approval. 3 years in a row, Mark Cassie has had his picture taken at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Mark, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Take it easy.
All right, and like all of our guests, Mark will get some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Before we go to break, earlier this week, the Baron, Mike Penna, sat down with the president of Woodford Feed, Bob Cleveland. To hear the interview in its entirety, head over to HorseRacingRadio.net. But now here's a few words from that interview with Mike and Bob.
I'm here with Bob Cleveland at Woodford Feed here in Versailles, Kentucky. And Woodford Feed has been family-owned for more than 80 years, or just about 80 years. Bob, when I walk through your doors every single day, you are a very busy man. And I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat here today.
Sure. Glad to help you out.
All right. So take me back through this history. Almost 80 years. That's no accident. What's the secret?
My dad started the company in 1940 when he was fresh out of college. Was actually downtown Versailles on Main Street at the time. And in 1942, with World War II, he got drafted and had to leave. And some of his help kept the business going while he was gone until 1945 when he got back from Europe. He served in Europe with Patton. Then he came back here in 1945, and he and his first cousin, Bob McConnell, started the business over again. I mean, the business hadn't closed, but they just kind of started over again and stayed downtown in Versailles from 1945 to 1948. We moved out here in 1948 at the current location. It was part of my dad's first cousin's family farm. And they built on the back side of it. And in 1948, everybody told him he'd never succeed out here because he was too far from town. And then we've been here since 1948. I started here when I got out of college in 1979 and have been here ever since. My dad worked the day that he died, which was 6.5 years ago. And so he was here the whole time and everything. So very much a family-owned business. My sister works here and has worked here for nearly 30 years. She's in charge of the bookkeeping. My son is starting to work here. He's been out of college for 2 years, and now he's kind of taken over, and I hope that we'll be the third generation.
So how have you been able to succeed all these years?
I mean, basically, I think our most important attribute is that we've always tried to be customer-friendly. We've always tried to be honest with all of our customers. And I hope that, you know, our reputation is, you know, of an honest place to do business. We've tried to give good customer service and have tried to be friendly.
Your slogan is where tradition merges with technology. What does that mean? How do you explain that to somebody?
Well, I mean, tradition is the family tradition, being here since 1940, being family-owned, locally-owned, and people that are familiar with the customers, familiar with the community and everything. And the technology aspect, which is, I'm sure everybody's aware, day of computers, cell phones, and all that is changing the way anybody in any business does business.
So when somebody walks through your door here at Woodford Feed, what are some of the things that you want them to know when they leave here?
Well, when they walk through the door, the first thing, I want them to be greeted. You know, we try to greet people. We have 7 or 8 people that are working the sales counter on any given day. We want people to leave thinking that this is a friendly place. This is a place that is knowledgeable. A lot of people come in here and ask questions, and we'll gladly answer any question, whether you're buying anything or not. And I'm sure with the advent of online purchasing and so forth, I feel like at times people come in and pick our brains and then, you know, go out online and try to shop for something that's, you know, that they can maybe save, you know, a few cents on. And when they leave, I want them to be satisfied that they were waited on. What they wanted was loaded properly, and everybody was pleasant to them.
Yeah, and I found that same thing in dealing with you and the folks here at Woodford Feed. I can remember walking in your doors one day and asking you about one product that I was looking for, and you said, you know what? I can't give you that at a solid price. I think you'd be better off looking somewhere else for it. And that's the kind of trust I think that you've established in many people that have been coming to Woodford Feed for so many years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of trust we like to have. You know, we can't have everything, and there are some things that people can just buy cheaper other places, and we like to tell people that and said, you know, if you need to go someplace else and get something, we'll be happy to tell you where to go, what to get, if we don't have it or if we can't sell it to you competitively, and that's the kind of trust that, you know, we think we've built up with our customer base.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera. Plus, catch 2-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Coming down to the line of the filly and mare sprint, and it is very close. It looked like Bar of Gold. Talismanic is the winner.
in the Breeders' Cup turf.
Both Talismanic and Bar of Gold prevailed in their respective Breeders' Cup races this past weekend, providing their sire, Medaglia d'Oro, with another huge day on racing's biggest stage. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is North America's leading sire in 2017 with, how about this, 7 Grade 1 winners, and Talismanic and Bar of Gold are your Darley Taking the Reins performers of the week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at 3 and the best 3-year-old filly since the 1970s. Among Medaglia d'Oro's North American leading 7 Grade 1 winners in 2017 are Elate, Bolt d'Oro, The Brilliant Songbird, Talismanic, and Bar of Gold. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Ben's Cat traveling in fourth, just behind that second group. 21-2 was an opening quarter miles. They swing into the stretch now. Rocket Heat is the leader by 3 lengths. And Spring to the Sky, the outside. Rapid Den, Ben's Cat saving all the ground, is trying to charge from fourth with a furlong left to go. 44 second half mile. Rocket Heat is the leader. Rocket Heat up top, Spring to the Sky. Ben's Cat surging late. Can Ben's Cat get there? Here comes the Cat. The Cat surges through. Oh, 2016 is the year of the Cat. He's 10, he's better than ever, and it's Ben's Cat in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, fifth Jim McKay Turf Sprint for the remarkable Ben's Cat.
Dave Rodman on the call of the 2016 Jim McKay Turf Sprint, the fifth time the incomparable Ben's Cat won that event on Preakness weekend. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. The Big A in for the Baron, of course, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld. Before we get to the replay of the King Leatherberry interview from Wednesday's Express Bet Radio, it's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update and a look at the top headlines from Bloodhorse.com. Tappet remains at $300,000 as Gainsway releases fees. Gainsway has released stud fees for its 2018 roster and announced Tappet, the leading North American sire in 2014 through 2016, will again command a $300,000 fee. His book will be limited to 125 mares. Tappet increased his lifetime tally of Grade 1 winners to 23 in 2017. Tappet became the sire's third Grade 1 Belmont Stakes winner in 4 years. Dream Dancing captured the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks presented by the Jockey Club to become Tappet's fourth Grade 1 winner on the grass. And Millionaire Cupid stretched his speed to 10 furlongs in the Grade 1 Gold Cup at Santa Anita Stakes. Tappet also had a sensational season in the sail ring. Tappet's Keeneland September yearlings averaged $950,000, the sale's highest sire average since 2006. Tappet sired the year's top three highest-priced yearlings sold in North America, a $2.7 million full system Cupid, a $2.6 million colt out of Ms. Bezalou, and a $2.5 million colt out of Tiz Ms. Sue. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. There's one website that's the industry's go-to site for racing, breeding, sales, and news. Bloodhorse.com. From breaking news to sire lists, results and videos, leading earners list, and so much more. You'll find it all at Bloodhorse.com. Big numbers getting thrown around this Equine Forum, Jude. $6 million for Stella Wynn, $300,000 for Tappet. You know, he's my favorite sire.
Yeah, well, he's a lot of people's favorite sire. And I think Medaglia d'Oro went up as well. Huh?
Yeah. So. East of the Belmont, though, Tappet. It's all about Tappet.
Yeah.
No, Most people, the Baron right now would give you a Derby countdown. I'll tell you it's 209 days, 9 hours, and 17 minutes till the 150th Belmont Stakes.
There you go. We all have goals in life, and yours is the Belmont Stakes.
Well, a horse who not only eclipsed his trainer's goals and his goals and was a fan favorite down in the Mid-Atlantic region and all over the country, really, is Ben's Cat, who we lost this year right after his retirement. They're going to honor him today down at Laurel. We both wish we could be down there today. It's going to be a great day. Ceremony gets underway in about an hour, so if you're in the Laurel area, throw the Equine Forum on in your car on Sirius 219 XM 206. Head on over to Laurel and take part in Ben's Cat Day. Earlier this week, Mike and Jude sat down with King Leatherberry, and he talked about the one and only Ben's Cat.
All right, well, as I mentioned, King Leatherberry, the Hall of Fame trainer of Ben's Cat, kind enough to spend a little time with us here this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And King has had so much success in his career, training a total of 6,489 winners to date. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2015. We were there. It was a very special day for us here on the network, more special for King Leatherberry. And King, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you'd probably be hard-pressed to find a horse that meant as much to you as Ben's Cat.
No, you're absolutely correct. He was a magnificent animal.
When you think about his career, and I say the name Ben's Cat, what are some of the immediate thoughts that come to mind?
Well, I mean, he's a remarkable horse, and it's what is sad now that his ending came so soon, and it was tragic because Harry survived all the racing wars all those years, kept coming back and running, winning these races multiple times. And then he gets time to retire and go spend some time on a lovely farm down in Kentucky and down there a couple weeks and gone.
What do you remember about getting the word that Ben's Cat had died?
Well, for one thing, the surgery that he had had a small percentage chance. In fact, I'd had a couple done, and they didn't make it over the years. But in this case, I thought they got to it right away. It's down in Kentucky there where the good veterinarians are. And So I had hopes that he'd survive. And then I was getting results that he's doing so well. Had the first night, reports came that he survived that. We had a rough night, but the next day he was fine. And he started eating well and looking well and acting well. And then he got to a point and it just turned on him and that was it. No, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, when you have a horse like that for so many years, and even if they're not as good to you as Ben's Cat was, it's got to be a shallow, hollow feeling when you get that message that they've passed away. But you know, he overcame so many things, the bowed tendon and all the struggles that he had, and he didn't take his track with him. I mean, he was just a horse that loved the game and loved to participate.
Oh, he did, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He's a very intelligent horse, and people walking over to the paddock, people would come out there and take pictures of him, and he'd stand there and practically pose for him, and he was kind of proud of himself.
King, what made Ben's Cat so good?
Oh, I don't know. It's just one of those things why things happen. One chance out of 100,000 or whatever it is, law of probability. And he had, I mean, we didn't know it at the beginning because obviously I ran him for 20,000 his first start. And then, stupidly on my part, when I look back on it, it didn't hurt then. Then I raised him up 5,000. That was a time where I could have lost him. I couldn't have lost him on his first start because he wasn't well bred and he wasn't working that well. So that's only two reasons you lose a first time starter is really great workouts or great breeding. So I didn't worry about it. But the second time, I had no idea he was going to get as good as he did, naturally, or I wouldn't have run him back for 25. But if I would have lost him, that would have been a day, and that would have been disastrous there. So anyhow, then he started to get better and better and better, and he won his first 8 races, I believe it was. And then he started winning stakes, and that was it.
How much confidence did you have going over there to run them? I mean, did you just think, I can't get beat?
Yeah, no, that's it. I took so much for granted because I knew I had the horse, the best horse. I'd go in these races, and he'd back there. He'd scare me a little bit by being back, and then he'd make that run. And when he made that run in the stretch, oh boy, here he came. And Dave Rodman called it the most exciting call I've ever heard. When I hear that recording, I get chills. It's just, it's so emotional. That is the most exciting race I've ever seen in all my years of being around horse racing.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer King Leatherberry here on Express Bet Radio on the Horse Racing Radio Network. King, I'm sure you get asked quite often about Ben's Cat. Is there a favorite Ben's Cat story that you like to tell that maybe people wouldn't know existed?
See, you guys always ask these kind of questions. I mean, I can't think of it now. I mean, all of his races were exciting. Any to pick any one story out, I'd have to really take some time out and think about it. But a lot of his races were it looked like Hollywood made it so exciting. We he'd be back there, and he'd come on the inside, on the outside, and that last race he won, he split two horses, which didn't look like it was possible to do.
You know, he had such a long career. Did he ever give you any scares along the way, like soundness issues or something when you came to the barn?
As a 4-year-old, why he didn't run as a 3-year-old. Is that he had a broken pelvis. The treatment for that was to stay in a stall for 6 months. Now, he went back to my farm. I've recently sold the farm, but when I had the farm, he went back to my farm, stood in a stall for 6 months without coming out. Well, that was what the veterinarians had recommended, so I followed it naturally. And then you wouldn't think a horse could do that. I mean, we've always... You know, when you're a horse trainer, you think your horse has to have exercise. He misses one day of galloping, and sometimes you're worried about that. So it just proved that all wrong, that he could do that. And then when he brought him back, of course, we brought him back very slowly, and never had a problem at all with that anymore.
Yeah, that's remarkable because, like a lot of times, especially in the old days, they used to tell you to hang him on the wall, you know, like not even let him lay down. And that's pretty tough.
Absolutely, yeah. No, but he was just one of those horses that he's a champion, that's all. He's gave me so many thrills and excitement and glory. I mean, there's where I got all my glory. Of all the races I've won, that was a horse that gave me the glory.
Well, King, his ashes will be laid to rest next to the historic paddock at Laurel coming up this Saturday, and fans will have the opportunity to stop by and visit his plot and be there for the ceremony, and I'm sure that's going to be a bit emotional, but I'm sure it's going to be very special for you, too.
It is. It's 10:30, and we're right outside the racing secretary's office facing the paddock, and that's where it's going to be, right next to the paddock. And that's all I know. I don't know any more about it than that. And then naturally I'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be a special day at Laurel this coming Saturday, November 11th. It's Ben's Cat Day. King Leatherberry with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. King, I have to tell you, one of the more pleasurable things and one of the more memorable things that Jude and I have been part of on radio is when we were broadcasting your Hall of Fame induction and putting that out there for people to hear on radio. And I think what made it so memorable is that you got up there and you were just King Leatherberry. You were telling a few jokes and you had the place rolling. I'm not going to let you go. You're not wrapping up this interview until you tell us a good joke.
Well, it's an old one, but you know, a doctor gives a guy 6 months to live, and he couldn't pay his bill, so he gave him six more.
There he is. He's King Leatherberry, one of the greatest, no doubt about it. King, listen, we appreciate the time, and I wish we had more time because we'd have you tell some more jokes, but Really do appreciate it. And all the best, my friend. Enjoy Ben's Cat Day. Congratulations on your success and on the success of Ben's Cat.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure being with you.
King Leatherberry from earlier this week on Express Radio. Real character, huh, Jude?
Yeah, he's something else. You know, it was interesting. At his Hall of Fame induction, he never talked about a single horse. All he did was tell jokes. It was a stand-up routine. It was amazing. You can go back on our archives and listen to it. It was the most untouching Hall of Fame speech I ever heard.
A memorable day, I'm sure, for King Leatherberry getting into the Hall of Fame. A memorable day for Pete Miller. He won not one but two Breeders' Cup races last Saturday. He will talk about the turf sprint and the sprint when we come back. Peter Miller joins us on the Equine Forum here on HRN, your home for all of racing's biggest days.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu. /equine.
International super sire Warfront has added even more graded stakes winners to his record. Ranked the world's number one sire by two-year-old stakes winners in 2016, he picked up his 15th lifetime Grade 1 victor when American Patriot scored in this year's Midlands 46 Mile. Other recent stakes winners include Grade 1 victor Brave Anna, War Decree, Roly Poly, Intelligence Cross, Journey Home, and Cambodia. Warfront.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Breeders' Cup Classic winner Ghost Sapper has enjoyed success as the sire of a Breeders' Cup champion and others who have placed in the championship events. This year, Ghost Sapper is the number one active sire by North American earnings and has sired 10 black type winners, 7 graded stakes winners, as well as a Canadian Classic winner this year. With over $9 million in earnings, Ghost Sapper has sired stakes winners ages 2 to 5 on all surfaces. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come toward the top of the stretch, and they have to come and get Imperial Hint, who's taken over from Tacapo. Imperial Hint off the turn in front. Roy H on the outside on the attack. The two of them arrive at the final 16th together. Imperial Hint digs in. Roy H runs at him. Roy H to the front from Imperial Hint. Mind Your Biscuits third. Roy H and Kent DeSormo do it in the Breeders' Cup Sprint over Imperial Hint. Then Mind Your Biscuits in American Pastime. The final time, 108.61. Peter Miller did it again.
Like Larry Colmus said, Peter Miller did it again. His second Breeders' Cup win of the day came with Roy H. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff taking you through a sensational Saturday edition of the Equine Forum. And Peter Miller from California up and at him early, as he is every day. Nice enough to join us to talk about his Breeders' Cup success. Hey, Peter, it's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing great. We're not doing Peter Miller great, but we're doing great.
Well, it was amateur day last Saturday at the Breeders' Cup.
I got to ask you this question. You know, I'm sure, like everybody else, you've dreamed. You've dreamt in your life. And when these entries come out and you got not one but two in the turf sprint, and one horse has some speed like Richard's Boy, and one horse can come from off the pace like Stormy Liberal, you got to say to yourself, man, wouldn't it be great to have Richard's Boy on the lead and Stormy Liberal coming, and whatever happens, happens. And then that's exactly what happens in the turf sprint?
Yeah, I'm too much of a realist to even dream that. So I was just hoping one of them could get lucky, you know. But it was crazy. It was a dream come true, and really, you know, it did work out. You know, just textbook. Both got great trips. Both got great rides. They both ran their eyeballs out, and you know, just. Really humbled by the whole experience, and just thankful, you know, to the owners for giving me the opportunity to train such nice horses.
Did what? You know where Stormy Liberal was? I mean, because Richard, I'll be honest with you, I bet on Richard's Boy, so I knew where Richard's Boy was. But you know, you're focused on your horse. You're in front. In a Breeders' Cup race, you're looking for your first ever Breeders' Cup win. You're in front, and here comes Rosario and Stormy Liberal. Did you know it was you running you down, or did it take you a second to realize what was happening?
You know, I'd say 75% of my attention was on Richard's Boy, but I had 25% on Stormy Liberal. So I did know it was him. You know, my owner, he did not. And he thought, oh, we're getting run down, we're getting beat. He didn't realize it was his own horse. So, you know, it's kind of funny. But, you know, I saw him coming, and I'm just saying, you know, wire, please, where's the wire? I saw other horses. It was a, you know, cavalry charge and a blanket finish. And, you know, it just, the wire came just in time.
I've known you for a long, long time. And our families go back a long ways. What was it like to get that Breeders' Cup victory at Del Mar?
You know, words really don't describe. You know, we've known each other since I was a teenager, and a young teenager at that. I had hair. And, you know, we to win at Del Mar, which is, you know, I live 10 minutes from Del Mar, and to my home track, it's my favorite, you know, it's my Disneyland. And so, you know, to win it at home, you know, in front of friends and family, and it just, like I said, words don't describe the feelings that I had.
All right, so it's 3:45 Pacific time. You just run 1-2 in the turf sprint, both horses double digits, kind of under the radar. You got the big horse, Roy H, left to roll. And I'd have to think, Pete, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you got to think Roy H has the best shot of your bullets on the weekend, right?
For sure, for sure. No, I felt really confident in Roy H after the draw when we drew well. And it looked like the speed was drawn inside of us. I felt really good about Roy H. So, you know, how this game is. It's once, you know, really Friday, once I won the Ken Matty with Belvoir Bay, I felt like, I think we're going to win one tomorrow. I don't know which one. I thought it was Roy H, but I felt really good. You know, it was a good omen to win the last race on Friday. And then when we won the turf sprint, then I felt really confident in Roy H. You know, so it was just one of those magical weekends.
What's it been with Roy H? Has the key been gelding him, Peter?
I really believe so. I really think, you know, he always showed grade one ability, and it was really frustrating because he'd train like a grade one horse, and then he'd, you know, he just wouldn't run like that. And we only had one win to show for it coming into this year. And, you know, we cut him, and we did give him some time off. And I think those two things certainly combined, you know, the natural maturity of age and the castration really really focused him and allowed his talent to shine.
Well, a lot like you and me, he's a Del Mar fan. I felt like he probably should have won the Bing Crosby when Dre Fong pulled his crazy act there.
I agree. We felt like we should have been undefeated and you know, the favorite. I felt like we should have been the favorite in the Breeders' Cup, and we were third choice. So I felt like he wasn't getting the credit he deserved, but I think he is now.
And how about winning one with Kent DeSormo? What's that like? That's got to be surreal.
Yeah, you know, it really is. You know, you got to love Kent, you know, for all his shenanigans and everything else. He's just a magic rider. You know, he's got the gift, you know, like a Pat Valenzuela. You know, these guys that they don't necessarily look that great on a horse, but man, they run for him. And, you know, Kent's, you know, he's half horse and, you know, it was a real thrill to win a Breeders' Cup race with Kent DeSormo.
What's the plans now for all 3 5-year-old geldings? What's the plan? You plan on running Stormy Liberal? Loves going down the hill at the Great Race Place, opening up in 6 weeks. Give him a little break till then, and send him on the winter campaign down the hill.
You know, we're actually considering sending him over to Hong Kong for the big race, three quarters on the grass, because he is fresh. You know, we really, you know, people, I didn't really talk about this before the race, but he had a really bad leg infection in a hind leg after his New York race. We think he got a spider bite, but it blew up like a stovepipe, and it took about 2 months to come down, and we didn't know if he'd run again. And, you know, but he is fresh, and he came out of the race great, so... You know, we're thinking about sending him over to Hong Kong. And Richard's boy, you know, the horse runs every 2 weeks, and I can't get him tired. He's just you know, the Energizer Bunny, this horse. He's still bouncing around the shed row and kicking and bucking. And he just ran 2 weeks before the Breeders' Cup, ran his eyeballs out down the hill, got beat ahead. And then he comes back in 2 weeks and runs another bang-up race, and he's still – fresh as a daisy. So, you know, those two are definitely in play to run. And Roy H., you know, he's run 6 tough races. We're not going to run him again until the new year, and I don't know where his season will begin. But we're just going to freshen him up at Del Mar right now. He's at Del Mar just walking the shed row. And, you know, we'll go from there.
Well, Peter, great job with all the Breeders' Cup contingent. Fantastic weekend. Congratulations. Thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you start your day just around 7 o'clock out in the West Coast, and keep it going.
Thank you both very much. It's my pleasure.
All right, Peter Miller. Like all of our guests, Peter will get some Embrace the Race apparel. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. One more break. When we come back, Jude and I will wrap this Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazara puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazara has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazara, an emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazara was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, the Big A, and the Pontiff, wrapping it up on a Saturday morning. This was a fun show, Jude.
Yeah, it was great visiting with these successful trainers and talking about their victories. A little trip down memory lane, not that we had forgotten any of the Breeders' Cup from last weekend. It's hard to believe it's flown by this week, but just great event. Really enjoyed it.
You get so caught up in the hoopla of the Breeders' Cup. I forgot that Peter won the Maddie on Friday, and then another undercard race on Saturday.
Yeah,
what a weekend.
That was kind of cool too. That race, I happened to hit the exact in that race, and kind of set the tone for the next day. I ordinarily probably wouldn't have been at the track for the Maddie, but we had a production meeting that lasted way longer than it should have. and so happened to turn that into a positive.
You mentioned Caledonia Row. We only got a couple minutes left. Briefly, every filly that's won the juvenile fillies has gone on to win the Eclipse Award for outstanding two-year-old filly. Caledonia Row, just 2-for-3. Moonshine Memories had 2 grade 1 wins to her credit. Do you think that pattern holds true this year? Do you think they're going to give the award to Moonshine Memories?
Well, I don't know. You're probably talking to the wrong guy, because Caledonia Road was really good to me. So I don't know. I'll have to study that. You know, I have a vote, and I don't really usually talk about who I like or don't like, but I think you have to look at the body of work. I saw something interesting yesterday, some discussion about Bolt Doro and whether he deserves it or not. And I think you can't just look at one race, even though it's a Breeders' Cup race. And I think you have to give the Breeders' Cup race some weight, but that's an interesting question as well. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Breeders' Cup's in the books. Thanks to all of our guests this morning: John Kimmel, Mark Cassie, Peter Miller, Debbie Easter, King Leatherberry, and Bob Cleveland were on tape. equine forum is about to wrap up. If you need help with the weekend stakes, head on over to horseracingradio.net and take a listen to the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. Jude Feld and I go over 12 Saturday stakes. On behalf of the Pontiff, Jude Feld, great job as always, and our producer, Lee Delapina. I'm the Big A. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Jude, you got something you want to say?
Good night, Barbados.
Have a good day, HRRN Nation.